What's up, everybody? It's the Don't Be Scared podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. J. This podcast is all about STEM education, all right? And once again, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. So if you're interested in any of these subjects, this is your podcast. Now, specifically during this podcast, we're going to be talking about careers, education, and any trends that we see happening in STEM education right now. Hey, everybody. Hey, this is Dr. J, and we are at the Don't Be Scared podcast. Now, at the Don't Be Scared podcast, we're all about highlighting our STEM leaders, okay? And today's guest, we have a great guest for you today, an industry expert. But I'm going to let him introduce himself and give you more background. But I need everybody to give a warm welcome to Dr. Chris Sumner. All right, everybody, let's give a hand clap for your boy. Oh, Dr. Sumner, can you tell me? Good. It's going good, man. So a little bit about the history. Can you just tell a background as far as what background do you have in STEM? Just to let everybody know why you are a STEM leader.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm really, really happy to be here. Thanks for asking me. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of all about STEM education, especially for STEM for people that maybe don't have an opportunity to be around it very much. Because, I mean, I'm from a really small farming town in South Georgia where I didn't really get a lot of STEM exposure growing up. I knew I kind of wanted to get out of that town and maybe make something bigger of myself. So went just went into college just to give it a shot, see what it was all about. And once I got there, I just realized how much I loved science. I loved problem solving. I loved, you know, learning new things, seeing what made the world work, that kind of thing. Really loved it. So, yeah. You know, got a degree in chemistry and a bachelor's degree in chemistry. And from there, I taught high school for a little while, which was a lot of fun. You know, chemistry there. Went on to get the chemistry PhD, which is where I met you, Dr. J. So that was a great time. That's right, man. my position is analyzer engineer for ExxonMobil here in Baytown, Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Man. That's crazy too. Just thinking about graduate school and then undergrad. So Chris, I met you in grad school, right?
Yeah.
Compared to experience for like the person who we like, you know, thinking about grad school, but they really don't know. Can you compare, like, what are the differences between undergrad and graduate school in your perspective?
I think there it's pretty different where in undergrad, the focus is a classroom environment, right? It's somebody tells you some information. Somebody gives you a test. You have to fill out questions on the test, answer it the way people want you to. And exactly. It's all real organized. But with grad school, it's much more about what you want, right? It's for you to say, I want to solve these problems. I'm going to figure out how to do this. This is what I'm interested in. This is what I want to do. You know, if I need to know some information, I'm just going to go learn it. I'm going to go figure it out for myself. I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to explore it, you know, my own. I like the freedom of graduate school a lot more than undergrad. So, yeah.
Okay. And then when you were in graduate school, how's it more free? Like when you say freedom, what does that mean to like the undergrad trying to figure out grad school?
Yeah. So you get to kind of explore the science that you want to explore, right? Where STEM is a pretty broad field, but when you're in an undergraduate classroom, your teacher can only go through so much stuff, right? And your undergraduate teacher might like certain things, and so they spend more time on teaching you those things. In grad school, it's a lot more about what do you want? What kind of, you know, STEM motivates you? You have to find some of that self-motivation, but it's all about what you want to do. You know, within reason, not saying you can just go do whatever the, you know, you want to. You know, you've got to kind of stick within, yeah, the confines of your research group or your, you know, school organization. But a lot of it's on you to decide what you want to do versus a classroom.
And I completely agree with you, Chris. Just because, you know, as you said, undergrad, we're just so focused on getting that right grade, you know. But in grad school, you know, after a year, we were done with classes. So after that, it's just research. And as far as for the audience, right, what was your research? What was the thing that made you, like, what research did you do in grad school? What were you doing in grad school?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So being from a small farming town, I care a lot about the environment and I care a lot about, you know, the outdoors. That was a big part of me growing up. And so the big part of my research that I really loved was I studied environmental pollutants, things that are causing problems, whether it's in the atmosphere or whether it's, you know, coming from a tractor and a farmer's breathing it in every day or in a city. And taxis are causing the problems. And so I got to actually study those particles and I got to, you know, create synthetic versions of them and study what they do inside cells. So, I mean, it was really fulfilling for me getting to kind of see, hey, this could actually make a difference, you know, where I'm from, small town, but also in the big world as well. So it was a really cool part of my research. It gave me a lot of passion for it.
It's just crazy how broad chemistry or really STEM can be, right? So as far as now you're at Exxon, right? And then you were doing environmental, like, you know, that was the niche that you were in. How'd you go from environmental to, like, how'd you get to Exxon?
Yeah. So the biggest thing I would say is that when you're looking for like a job, after any kind of degree or any kind of, you know, diploma, whatever, don't close yourself off to anything, right? Like you were saying, STEM is so broad and it's so diverse that with Exxon, I literally just went for an interview. They were looking for somebody to help them measure their environmental impacts. They wanted somebody that could help them see, you know, what are we putting out into the environment? And that kind of drew me in a little bit and then had an interview. And I actually really liked that they were trying to do something about their environmental impact and wanted people to help. And, you know, that kind of, it resonated with me a little bit. And from there, I ended up in the position I'm in now, which is, it's really fulfilling. It's very diverse. In terms of the STEM fields it covers as well, which is a lot of fun.
Gotcha. So what's your position that you're in now at Exxon? Like, what's your everyday like? Like, can you describe a day when you wake up? Like, what are you looking like? What is that type of job? What is that day like?
Yeah. So, you know, technically the position I'm in, it's, you know, I work a normal 8 to 4 or 5 kind of a day, but, you know, you always have to have your cell phone on hand ready to go if you need to. But, typically, what I do is I manage a large group of, they call them analyzers, for a large portion of the refinery here in Baytown, where these analyzers are just pieces of equipment that can measure things, whether it's environmental output or whether it's taking some oil that's flowing through a pipe and measuring things about that oil. You know, how hot is it? How cold is it? How thick is it? How thin is it? You know, among other things. And so my typical day is keeping an eye on maybe about 300 or 400 of these analyzers in this refinery, helping them work, fixing them, replacing them, bringing new ones in. It's a lot of communication, a lot of emails, but also a lot of going out in the field and taking these big pieces of equipment apart and looking at the inside of them, fixing them, what makes them work, a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's why I was saying the STEM side of thing, kind of all four of those letters are used a lot, right? You got your science, where you need to know the chemistry of how this oil is moving through the pipe and what it's doing. You got the technology, where I have to look at the electronics or the software within these pieces of equipment, and, you know, engineering. I have to look at pipes and valves and tubes and how does all that go together, and, you know, maths and everything, yeah. Right? I mean, you're constantly having to do math. So it's a pretty cool job that I got to do a lot more than I thought I would, which is, you know, why I say kind of keep it open, right? You never know what you're going to find out there in the world to fulfill you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. How was that learning curve? Cause you just mentioned you had basically, you're kind of doing all four parts of STEM. So it's like, we know that you got your PhD in chemistry, but you know, that learning curve on the job, how well was that?
I mean, it was not easy, right? We joke around a little bit that grad school, it either breaks you or it builds you a lot. Mm. Where what you learn in grad school, to me at least, and you might, I don't know if you agree or not, is it, for me, it was less about the chemistry and more about how to critically think, how to problem solve, how to take a little bit of information and make it a big amount of information in whatever way you can. And that's what this job is, right? It was me getting thrown in with a tiny bit of knowledge about chemistry and then having to use my critical thinking, my ability to manage time and stress and those things you learn in grad school, and just grow my knowledge as quickly as possible. It was stressful. It was a lot.
Yeah, it's I can only imagine. I mean, being over hundreds of those analyzers can be a lot, I bet. And then how many people are you constantly communicating with every day?
Oh, man. It's probably about my analyzers are divided across six different groups of people that each kind of manage a different portion of the refinery. And each of those groups have like 20, 30 people in it. So, I mean, you know, any day I could be interacting with any one of 200, you know, people through email, phone calls, IMs, you know, out in the field, walking stuff down with people. Communication is huge in this job.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so it looks like, and then this is what I want to just like, let everybody know, it's like, right, how you said with the chemistry aspect, only so much of it was chemistry based, but there's a lot of soft skills that you had to develop, right? Like communication, soft skill.
Oh, yeah.
Just how to learn how to speak to people. I mean, you're speaking over 200 people, they're all different. So what did you learn these type of soft skills and just on the job, or was these developed in grad school, undergrad? Like, where would you say you started developing these skills to even be able to do this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think at least part of that's going to come from undergrad. I think the big portion of it, for me at least, came from grad school, right? Where even in your research group, you're having to learn how to communicate to so many different levels of people. You've got to communicate with your research advisor, who's had a PhD for, you know, like in your case, I mean, gosh, I don't know how long he had a PhD for, and you had to communicate your chemistry to him, but you also had to communicate your chemistry to a first year that was brand new to chemistry, or to an undergrad. Or if you go to a conference, you've got to communicate it to people that have no idea any of the chemistry you're talking about. So you learn a lot about communicating with different groups of people in grad school. It's a huge soft skill that you develop. And then, like I said, that that critical thinking and that kind of problem solving, that it doesn't apply to just one kind of science, right? It applies to life, everything you do, you know, STEM related or otherwise. It's the wonder of a field like STEM, where it can develop you to, with these soft skills, like you said, to apply kind of everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, like, looking at, you know, since you've been in your position, would you say, like, this has definitely benefited you just going even the STEM route? Because, you know, we always have so many options to go, because we could literally go to anything. But, like, would you say going STEM and looking at where you at, would you be overall say, like, this is a beneficial thing to you overall?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, STEM is a field that I think is pretty unique, and it allowed you to develop a lot of soft skills, but also lets you develop a lot of hard skills, a lot of, you know, knowledge about whether it's science or engineering or technology. All of that's kind of the future, right? I mean, everything around us is becoming more, you know, technology based or more science based, and all of that is the future. And STEM allows you to be a part of that. It lets you be on the front lines of it. And I wouldn't change my STEM path for anything.
Yeah. And that's good to hear. Because, like I always tell everybody, man, it's like, you know how to navigate this STEM world, like, you can do a lot of different things. And then you don't have to necessarily think in a certain way. You know, it's like you can do so many things. And then also, so with your STEM path, like, what is some advice that you could give somebody trying to get into industry? You know, everybody, industry, you know, that's the word industry. So is like things that you could say to someone trying to be in that position now?
Two things. Number one, I would say it's never too early to start trying, right? You're in grad school. It's never too early to start talking to somebody about an unpaid internship or to give you a chance to learn. You might get involved in the industry that way. And the other part of that is, don't be afraid to talk to anybody. Like, you never know what opportunity is going to be there waiting for you if you just have the courage to give it a shot, right? Nothing is ever lost by somebody just telling you no. Okay. They told you no, you move on, go the next thing. But, you know, 10 no's and one yes, that one yes is all you need, and you're in.
And you're right, you know, because it's like, it's all about don't be scared, right? You wasn't scared.
There you go. That's right.
So speaking of that, like, when's the moment that you can, like, literally look back on? It's like, if I hadn't did that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be where I am. Like, you took that courage to get to where you are. Like, do you have a particular moment where you think of?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a big thing that's really important, and I think it's a big part of this whole don't be scared thing, is don't be afraid of change, right? Change is, it's scary. It's not comfortable. You got to be able to put yourself out there and give it a shot. And so for me, like I said, after I graduated my bachelor's degree, I was teaching high school chemistry and physics. And I taught it for 2 years and I loved it. I had a great time. It was fun. It was fulfilling. I was good at it. It was great. But there was something missing. It was a lot of people interaction, but it wasn't enough STEM for me. Like, it wasn't quite deep enough. I wanted to be able to go deeper. And then, you know, I decided that it could be an opportunity to go get my PhD and be able to develop my STEM career even further. But it was one of the hardest things I had to do, to say, hey, I'm going to quit this job that I love, that I'm good at, that these people will probably want to keep me for years if I want to, and then go try to get this degree. It was scary, but I knew for me, my STEM pathway wasn't meant to end. with just getting my bachelor's degree. I knew there was more, and it just took a lot of courage for me to say, let's do it. Let's just dive in and let's make it work.
And I think that you're completely right with that. You know, it takes courage to like even consider going to grad school, right? Especially in a PhD program, right? Because you know that it's going to require some work, time, and also in some instances, it's going to require money. But one benefit I always say is like, right, in the STEM world, there's a lot of money out there for people trying to pursue this. And you, you know, you're kind of killing it with the money game in grad school. tell people about the fellowship you got.
So I was really lucky that I had an opportunity to get a fellowship with the National Science Foundation, so the NSF. They have a lot of programs. They have a lot of stuff for undergrads and grads. So like whether you're in grad school, undergrad, there's a lot of money, like you're saying, in STEM there. And it's in all STEM fields too, right? Which is even better. It's the National Science Foundation. It's not the National Chemistry Foundation, right? I got lucky enough to get them to help pay for some of my grad school. And it helped me provide a little bit for my family and make things a little bit smoother. But I mean, we knew undergrads that got the NSF fellowship that I got. We knew graduate students that got the NSF fellowship. There's a lot of organizations out there. Like you said, if money is the limiting factor, there are options. There are tons of opportunities for you to find something to help you get through it. Just talk to somebody that knows or talk to somebody that's willing to help. And like I said, it can't hurt to try, right? Yeah. Apply for a bunch of them. Yeah. See what happens.
Very true. Because, you know, if you get, like you said, 10 no's, you'll eventually get a yes at the 11th, right? So,
always that's it.
Just keep going. Always keep going. And then, I guess, Chris, so where are you at now? What is your career aspirations like long term? What are you thinking? Have you thought long term or like what are your plans and in your long term? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? I guess you get to like our age and it gets to a point where you're like, okay, I guess I have to really start thinking about that, long term, right? In grad school, it's always just shooting for the end and that's really all you care about.
Yeah.
I like what I'm doing with Exxon, and I think that my goal would be to keep doing what I'm doing, keep working with analyzers. But I think my ultimate goal would be to work on global projects. Exxon does a lot of work where they build either refineries or chemical plants or places like that overseas, and they typically take engineers from their American sites and they send them over there for a short amount of time to basically get that site up and running overseas. And then they come back to America. And so you got to be a real expert in, your field for them to send you. But I think that's kind of my ultimate goal. Do what I'm doing for a little while, become an expert as much as I can, and then maybe get to work on some of these global projects where me and my family can move overseas for a few years and experience new culture, be really cool, and still be able to come back to America and then go try another culture if you want to and just kind of bounce around a little bit. It sounds like a lot of fun to us.
Yeah, no, definitely. Sure. And then that's what I just want to scream out to everybody. It's like STEM, there's so much opportunity. Like you can have the opportunity to travel across the world. Right. And it's someone is going to figure it out for you. And this field can do that. STEM is so broad, and like we all know, technology is growing, science is only becoming more ingrained in our society. So I only see STEM going up from here, right?
Agreed.
And this is like the best opportunity to like jump into STEM now, especially with all 100%. The coding, et cetera. So much.
Yep.
And then I guess I would just say, Chris, do you have any advice for a high schooler, say they're out there, What advice would you give them that you could have gave yourself then?
Oh, man. So I guess my biggest advice would be for the people that are maybe at their high school, they don't know what they want to do. They think that they might, you know, like that, you know, like, hey, Dr. J, you're talking great stuff about this STEM. That sounds cool. Let's, you know, maybe I want to try to get into that. My biggest thing that I would have told myself is get out there, broaden your horizons, and don't be scared to try new things. If I hadn't had the courage to get out of my little hometown and go meet people, see other places, do other things, my life would not be what it is now. And I'm very thankful for my life now. So don't be scared of change. I was terrified of change, and embrace it. Just embrace it and go for it. That is my biggest thing for anybody.
And that's great advice. I totally 100% agree with you. Everybody, I just want to say thank you to our guest today, Dr. Chris Sumner. Once again, he's at Exxon. Great place to be at. Also, everybody, make sure that you continue just to follow Don't Be Scared, and we will see you next time on Don't Be Scared Podcast. Now, once again, you want to make sure that you hit that subscribe button and follow us for the latest episodes on our podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a review, as well as comment below what you want to hear us talk about next. At the end of the day, everybody, we're just here to help. We want to spread our vision of increasing STEM participation from underrepresented communities